You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Swing and a miss. That's number 9 for Luis. Back-to-back starts where he has matched his career high in strikeouts.
The Astros get it done in Minneapolis. Another sweep. They're on a roll.
The pitching in particular. And, I mean, let's just put some numbers to it. Over this 10-game winning streak that they are now on, Vanessa, the Astros have given up just 11 runs. That hasn't been done since 1974.
Wow.
It was the Baltimore Orioles who did that. Their team ERA is .90. They've had 5 shutouts along the way. And on top of that, Luis Garcia has all of a sudden seemingly taken, I guess, the young pitcher belt of all of the Astros' young pitchers, of which we see a lot. Whether it's Urquidy or it's Framber Valdez, he has been the one a month into the year who has been the most consistent. And it's great to see because, you know, without Lance McCullers, I think there were some serious questions about how much this rotation could carry the Astros. And they have carried them and then some, you know. And now you're hoping that all of a sudden, like a series like you just saw against Minnesota, that the bats are starting to wake up where, as you said earlier in the show, what was it, that they outscored them over the course of the series?
21-3, I believe.
Whew, like a football game.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I was really concerned about Justin Verlander. Was he going to look like vintage Justin Verlander? Lance McCullers Jr. being out, obviously, when he was the ace last year, they lose Grinke. All of these things happen. And
right.
That made me question the pitching staff and know how silly I was, because that is what really carried the team when they were in an offensive slump at the beginning of the year.
Totally natural, though, to do that. And look, the offense, we'll see if it can do what it did this week against Minnesota going forward. I think that it'll be interesting to see how Jeremy Peña deals with whatever knee inflammation he's dealing with. He did go 3-for-3 yesterday, but I don't think he's going to play tonight.
Because, yeah, Dusty said he will not play.
Right. I don't think it's anything to be concerned about, but hey, you're a young player. This is another challenge for Jeremy Peña. You got to overcome it. And based off of every challenge he has taken on thus far, I expect him to overcome it.
Yuli, they're going to have a Star Wars night on Thursday, May 19th. Are you a Star Wars guy, Sean? Do you like Star Wars?
I've seen the movies, and I would say I'm a fan, but I'm not like a dressing up.
What about you?
I'm a dressing up.
You are?
As Chewbacca the last time
out,
I went to a movie.
Yuli Wan Kenobi bobbleheads.
Well, I'm going to be fighting some little children to get that going into Minute Maid Park.
Fine to be one of the first 10,000 in.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, little Timmy. I'm going to have
a video
just
goes viral
arm.
Of yeah. Paul. Yeah. Just
oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. Truck stick.
Derek Henrying a kid for this bobblehead.
Well, I mean, listen, you know, survival of the fittest.
Absolutely.
It is the animal kingdom out there in the wild. Society laws now.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
it's a bobblehead.
James Harden not getting it done in the way that the Astros have gotten it done. James Harden with 11 points, 9 assists, 4 turnovers for the beard as the Heat took series versus the 76ers. And somebody next to me, I always like to give credit where it's due because nobody on the show stands, as the kids say, James Harden. But you specifically called out that they would not get past round 2.
Nope, because this is where it always happens. It's always round 2. He just stops. I don't know what it is. But every single year that I have watched this guy in the playoffs, outside of that 2018 team that had Chris Paul aboard as well, playing at the level he was playing at, there's just something that happens then, and Harden stops being the guy that you see during the regular season in that round. And he just became completely, as he always is, standing off the ball, not moving around, not trying to create a shot. And you heard him say, well, you know, I wasn't getting the ball passed my way a lot during the game. I didn't have a lot of opportunities to shoot when he was asked about how he had only 2 shots.
It's such BS.
In the second half.
Yeah. It's such BS. And you don't even have to watch that much basketball to watch this. And it looks like he's not even giving an effort. He's not in shape. He hasn't bought in. I don't think he cares. And you know what? I think Doc Rivers does care, but I think he's a little bit delusional. Here's James Harden on his dear coach, Doc Rivers.
James, you said the ball didn't get to you. Does the coach call plays to try to get the ball to you?
Nice question.
What a convenient way to throw a guy under the bus. And it's such bull.
There's trouble. This trade happened in February, right? Mm-hmm. February. It's not that far removed. And there's already trouble in paradise. We played Embiid talking about James a couple of segments ago. I mean, this is a team that's not together. It's not going to get better. So I think Doc Rivers is on the hot seat. What say you?
It's ridiculous that Harden has the balls to do that because it's so disingenuous. When you hear people, specifically reporters, asking questions about plays drawn up for James Harden, like, that's not how it works. The game flow happens as it happens. If Harden's not getting the ball, that is likely because his teammates do not trust him to play well. It is not on Doc Rivers not giving it to him. And I think Doc Rivers deserves a lot of fault for, I would say, being a guy who has had a lot of disappointing performances in the playoffs.
And he's had good tools.
Awesome tools. Yeah. You're right. So he deserves some fault for this. But Harden, once again, is conveniently laying it all at the blame of the easiest person to lay the blame at. The feet of. And he does this so much. And if you haven't learned by now, like, when are you going to learn? And the unfortunate thing is Doc Rivers can't stop being a you-know-what publicly. So everyone's going to turn on Doc Rivers as opposed to on James Harden, who we've now all accepted is no longer a superstar. Here is Doc Rivers getting grilled about his job security by Howard Eskin, one of my favorites in Philly.
I don't worry about my job, Howard. I think I do a terrific job. And if you don't, then you should write it. Because I worked my butt off to get this team here. When I first got here, no one picked us to be anywhere. And again, this year, the same thing. So if that's how anyone feels, write it, and I'm going to feel secure about it.
It's results-based business. And that's
it is, but you don't do it every year. Every time you're wrong, should you lose your job? No.
Yeah, actually, when you are a coach and you have the tools and the weapons that he has had and you continually crap the bed, for lack of a better term, yeah, you actually should absolutely lose your job. Yeah, when you Amber Turd that.
It's funny because then they rhyme.
So you think Doc Rivers is on the hot seat in Philly?
Oh, he's gone.
Because I think that Daryl Morey gets rid of Doc Rivers way before he admits that he made a mistake with James Harden. Sean, you're nodding your head.
Yeah, no, I mean, that clip we just played, he might as well have just said it straight to Jeannie Buss and whoever's hiring the coach of the Lakers.
Right.
I mean, he's already basically in his interview in the post-game press conference.
But also, Harden shot him in the back of the head with that no-comment answer.
Yeah.
To a question that I feel like had been put in there by a plant. Like, that's a plant. And I think Philly's media has gone soft. You know, what a tough, tough sports town. So tough. And you guys are basically setting up James Harden's fall guys for him because you're in denial.
Have you ever had deja vu?
Often.
Yes.
Very often.
I literally just had deja vu. Like, I heard, like, in my mind, you saying this a month ago.
Mm.
So
what?
Weird.
James Harden throwing someone under the bus?
Yeah. Is it from, whatever, the 2017 series against
it
the
could
Spurs?
Be.
Where
no, I literally had deja vu, but maybe it is because James Harden does this all the time.
It is deja vu. It happens every spring
for
James Harden.
It's not even deja vu. It's like a holiday.
Yeah. I mean, once the temperature rises, James Harden leaves the playoffs.
Second round of the playoffs. Expect this every single year. And, man, I'm so annoyed by him. I suppose I should just enjoy the fact that he's not going to ultimately win ever. You know, it's pretty funny to me that he's never going to get his way, but that they're going to blow out Doc Rivers because Harden wants him out.
You only get that defensive when you know you're gone.
Yeah.
You only get that mad.
And it's much easier to get rid of Doc than it is James Harden.
Right. Someone should have asked Doc about Harden saying that.
Yeah,
because no then question. We would have gotten more juice.
He might have. Doc probably talked to the media before Harden.
Probably, yeah. Harden probably was showering for a while.
Yeah, he did the thing where you wait like an hour.
Yeah,
you know, just to
make it a pain
wait
in
out the
ass.
The media. I don't. Yes. I don't know why guys do that.
The one person. Do we have that Embiid soundbite? The one person that I do respect who's been super honest but still pretty classy, Joel Embiid. The person that was supposed to be this great pairing with James Harden. They were supposed to do incredible things. This is not the first time we've heard Embiid be honest about kind of his disappointment in James Harden and the way that he plays. Here's Embiid.
Great. I don't know. I think he's been, obviously, I'm sure, you know, since we got him, everybody expected the Houston James Harden, but that's not who he is anymore. He's more of a playmaker. I thought, you know, there are times, you know, could have been as all of us could have been more aggressive.
Yeah. I mean, that was the so question polite. Was, should Harden have been more aggressive? He cleaned it up there at the end. But Embiid has been honest. It was a couple of weeks ago where he said he didn't think Harden was being aggressive then, and he was right.
Right, and I guess they're going to try to run this back next year. And Harden said, well, you know, the last 2 years for me have been hard, and I mean, now I'll have plenty of time to get ready. Well, just it shows his lack of caring in a nutshell.
Also, last year, his injury that's like what kept him from being in shape was a pulled hamstring in June. So, it's not like he had this devastating injury that it ruined the next season.
Right.
No, you don't get it. Harden had his leg amputated, and it takes 2 years for the average human to grow their leg back.
I'll never get over Alex Smith. Him yeah. looking like he was wearing a fat suit, and then 3 weeks later, like, Give me your diet. If that was real, give all of the women your diet so we can know how you lost weight that quickly.
Well, he didn't lose it, though.
He was thinner. Do you remember what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
no, that one Rockets picture where Age was wearing the unflattering blue that they were wearing.
And his
tummy
was out.
I think it's a bad angle. I don't think he lost any of that weight, though.
I think he had something wrapped or like a heating pad for his back.
Oh, could be.
Anyone who's taken a picture, and if you've done it enough, you know that there are ways to suck in the gut.
I take pictures of myself all the time.
No, I don't. But if I'm ever in a picture where I'm out at the pool, I'm like making sure that I look like I have the flattest abs of all time.
The angle.
And they're also, not. No, I suck in a little
angle.
Bit. You got to.
Yes,
also,
you do.
I think Harden is one of those guys who, if he has like a bad weekend, his body looks like a wreck.
Yeah.
like be good for a couple days and
he's
get
bloated.
It back. Yeah.
He's, but, yeah.
I'm just bloated, bro.
Some of us bloat.
Everyone bloats. I've had bloated days myself. It's not fun.
We're talking about bloating on ESPN 97.
But Harden is always bloated.
He is. All right, coming up, the NFL schedule release yesterday. What are you looking forward to? What stands out to you? We talk a little bit of Texans. Plus, could a now retired NFL head coach end up in Carolina? That's next.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, TGIF. Happy Friday, everybody. Thanks for rolling with us. I'm Vanessa Richardson. That's Paul Gallant. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass producing for us. And as always, you can Twitch us. You can tweet us. Our number 713-780-ESPN. We'd love to hear your perspective on things. We're rehashing the NFL schedule release, which, of course, was released in its entirety yesterday. We had a couple of the classic leaks that come throughout the day, some of which ended up being horrifically wrong, but some of them ended up being right.
Well, that one website that the Twitter that just put out all sorts of fake information just to screw with people.
That.
Legends of the game. Because I just like to see the occasional journo online be like, I can't believe they did this. And it's like, well, here's just another reason that you need to get off social media. You know, like, social media is a hellscape, and it's fun to see people that are sowing chaos amongst the hell.
Do what Keyshawn Johnson said. Just don't have it.
Yeah. It helps, though, to be like a famous former first overall pick
rich
wide
man
receiver.
That can pay somebody to do it all for him.
Yeah. That definitely helps a little bit. Well, you know, when you're a 33-year-old white who's been fired twice and has half his market
Did
in
you say
Houston
white?
And half in Seattle. Well, I am a white. It's a little more difficult. Yeah. I'm just a generic white guy. I acknowledge it. I wear Hawaiian shirts to blend.
33-year-old aspiring TikTok star.
Thank you, Paul Gallant. Thank you. A little
Paul
more accurate.
Spent an hour plus watching TikTok.
Oh, my God.
What'd
it's
you
so
discover?
Awful.
He wants to go viral so bad.
I pressed not interested a good, which is so that they won't give you the same TikTok a good 100 times. A good 100. I pressed like 7 times. I remember that. The last thing I saw was a lady breastfeeding her baby. Like,
don't talk down about breastfeeding.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to see that.
What's wrong with that, Paul?
Nothing's wrong with it. It's just I don't want to see that on TikTok.
He doesn't want to see
it. I will say, she, you know, it, I mean, the baby was not wanting, clearly. So there's that.
So we learned a lot. We learned a lot about the NFL schedule. I believe they call that latching. And what games will you latch on to during the NFL season? I tried to do the transition.
No, that was perfect.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you. What games?
That was good.
Nipples. We played a game of over-under yesterday on the teams that we thought would have the most, the least primetime games.
I just hit my knee on something and I'm still laughing.
Texans, 1.5. We both thought that that would be under for primetime games, and we were right. The Texans got one primetime game.
Yeah, good. Right? I mean, do we want
It's better than the Lions who got none.
I want them to be off the radar altogether. I made a joke yesterday. We have a Bears fan listener who joins us on the Twitch every now and then. And of course, you can text into 713-780-3776. But Bears fans don't want to be in primetime, and they keep being put in primetime, and they just get murdered by the Packers. I don't want to watch the Texans get annihilated on national TV, only for all of the NFL Twitter to just come together and rag on them. I would rather be a complete afterthought, basically in our own version of Siberia, as this team continues to hopefully grow in the right direction.
Bills 4.5. Of course, it was over. They received the maximum. I forgot that the maximum was 5 primetime games.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So I think originally I put 5.5.
That can, I believe, change as the season goes along with the flex.
Yeah, I think you get flexed once or twice.
Yeah.
Okay, so we had 5.5.
But going into the year, it's 5. You're right.
Yeah, so they got the max. Bills got this isn't surprising. I mean, they're one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl. Josh Allen, exciting quarterback, a lot of fun guys on that team.
I think that they will have another game that will be flexed. So I think that they actually will go over, even though we were wrong in knowing how many primetime games you can have max.
Cowboys, 2.5. Y'all told me that it would be over, way over. I thought, really over?
No.
Way over? Yes.
Sorry.
Cowboys receiving.
Can't get away from them.
The max. I mean, the fact that the Cowboys get the same amount of primetime games as the Bills is ridiculous.
Real Cowboys fans don't want to see them on primetime this much either, because they are also just like jaded and beaten down by what has been an extremely disappointing last couple of years.
The Jets, 2.5. The Jets only got one. I was a little surprised by this because they had a great draft class. A lot of people said it was the best draft class they've had in a long time. It's the number one media market. I thought maybe the NFL would take the chance to promote some of the young players and get away from giving the Cowboys so much love. But it is the under, and the Jets get the same amount of primetime games as the Houston Texans with only one. Packers, 4.5, the over hit on that. 5 primetime games for Aaron Rodgers, no Devontae Adams, but they still think that apparently the Packers are going to be what they've been.
In their defense, I mean, they've had the best record in the NFC two of the last 3 years, and they've had a first-round bye each
and
of the last
MVP.
3 years. Yeah. So I get it.
Patriots, Pauly G's Patriots, 3.5. I took
undeserved.
The under. I took the under on this, and it ended up being over. The Patriots get the max amount of primetime games with 5.
It's because they're the Patriots. It's sort of like with the Cowboys, and it's like with the Steelers, too. Like, does anyone want to watch the Steelers 5 times in primetime with who they're going to be rolling out under center? You really want to watch Kenny Pickett, you know? So it's kind of the same thing with New England. I don't think New England deserves to be on 5 times. I feel like this is another year where they're probably going to be 10-7, 9-8, best case scenario. Hey, I mean, people like to hate watch them, and people especially have liked to watch them not be what they used to be over the last couple of years.
2251 says John and Lance have the Texans going 16-1 this morning, so they need more primetime games. I mean, they're going to win the Super Bowl, obviously. Underdog story of the year.
Davis Mills. Mills Mafia. And look, if they win it, we can clip this audio and pretend we weren't being sarcastic.
Yes.
What game do they have them losing?
That's a really, really good question.
Because I had them at 16-0-1. I had them at a tie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, who do they tie?
Week one against the Colts.
Okay. Interesting.
And so there's been a lot of speculation about the next man that we're going to talk about. One, Sean Payton. And whether he was retiring and was going to end up with the Cowboys. He still has not announced whether or not he's going to be in studio for Fox. That seems likely. I know that I had talked to him and he said that he was interested in a studio role. I think that'd be interesting. I think he'd be really good at it. But we also know that there were some chit chats about Amazon pursuing him. There were some chitter chatter about him taking a year off and not even doing anything. So we don't know what Sean Payton's going to do. But the Carolina Panthers are reportedly eyeing Peyton for the team's head coaching job in 2023. That's according to Michael McCarthy of Front Office Sports. I did some research and a little bit of recon on him. Michael McCarthy is pretty legit.
Okay.
So I do believe that the Carolina Panthers are eyeing Sean Payton. I just don't think Sean is eyeing the Panthers.
Does it matter if they're eyeing him either? Now, look, David Tepper has more money than any owner in the NFL.
Good point.
So they can definitely pay him. And I suppose that Sean Payton would have to make would have to agree to whatever team, you know, obviously offers him a contract. He would have to he would want to get paid no matter where he goes. He'd want to have a lot of control, though, and I wonder how much control David Tepper would allow. I feel like he's starting to get a little meddlesome down in Carolina. You know, he's a young owner as far as NFL owners go. Like, he's only been in charge for a couple of years,
and he admitted that he paid too much money for Matt Rhule.
It's a learning. It is a learning process, yeah. And it doesn't hurt you when you have the kind of money that he has. I think the real question is: okay, if you're the New Orleans Saints, do you want to trade Sean Payton's rights to the Carolina Panthers? Because you would be trading a coach, all-time coach, in division. And if you're the Saints, you don't do that. You can't do that.
I'm glad you said the rights thing, because that is a bit on Pro Football Talk that I forgot what the exact details were. But the Saints do hold Peyton's rights. Before another team could talk to him, the Saints and that team would have to strike a deal regarding potential compensation. Yeah,
right.
I mean, it would have to be a trade.
Sort of like with Bill Belichick being traded from the Jets to the Patriots. I forget. I think it was a first-round pick or something like that to make that happen. John Gruden being traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, it has happened before. There's precedent for it. So, and it would probably be something along those lines. I just wonder, yeah, how much would New Orleans ask for? And Carolina, which basically said bleep them picks so that they could get Sam Darnold last year by trading away their second, right, and their thirds. Do they want to go another draft where they're trading away the ability to draft young players so that they can get a coach who was very good to great, but I feel like his name is perhaps a little bit more shiny than his actual resume indicates.
If I'm Sean Payton, I never think of coaching in the NFL again. I get a nice little studio gig where I work 17 weeks a year. I continue to hang out with my hot wife and sit courtside at Pelicans games. So I do think that the Carolina Panthers are eyeing Sean Payton. And this is not a report, because I haven't talked to him about it. I just don't think that Sean Payton is eyeing the Panthers. I would be shocked if they traded the division.
Why would anyone want to leave a booth? I get it. You maybe you miss the grind, but like Gruden.
How do you miss the grind, man? Though
you're right
up till 2 a.m. drinking Mountain Dew, and I mean,
everyone thought John Gruden was the best when he moved into the Monday Night Football booth. Even though when I was in, you know, the Tampa Bay area for high school, I remember most people thought he was a two-faced.
Keyshawn confirmed.
Right. I remember we all felt that way about him, but then he goes into the booth and everyone's like, oh, wow, he's so positive and he's fun and he's quirky and he gives weird nicknames. Bill Cowher was always rumored to be potentially taking a head coaching job somewhere too. And I was always thinking to myself, he's kind of great. He just shows up on Sunday and talks about the NFL over the course of like 6 hours.
Got his veneers.
It's the perfect job. Like, why would you want to do anything else? Why would you want to get back into it and just get fired when you start working for some awful team that is expecting you to turn it around single-handedly by just existing?
Yeah, getting paid great money to work 17, I guess if you count playoffs, it's a little bit more. But yeah, I'll take that one day a week, any day. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, possibly bad blood between a recently retired quarterback and his former team. What? That's next.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I need you guys' help. I'm starting a podcast, and I don't know what to name it. So give me a creative name. Maybe something involving my name, Vanessa. But I don't want it to be like, I'm not, no offense to Jake Asman, who does the Jake Asman show. No offense to Paul Gallant, who does the Paul Gallant show.
Gallant Says Podcast. Gallant Says.
Okay. So I...
You know
I don't
so well
want to do the Vanessa Richardson podcast.
It's also his Twitter handle.
It is.
Really easy.
Brand synergy.
It's just right there.
Yeah. But everything is Sports Vanessa. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everything. So maybe it's the Sports Vanessa podcast, but that's so lame.
No, that's not it.
So guys, help me come up with a name. And if you want to text in the text line, it's 713-780-ESPN. You can tweet me at Sports Vanessa, as I just said, or Twitch us.
V on Sports.
V on Sports.
I don't know what it means, but V. Just, yeah. I was thinking shortening Vanessa. That's
yeah. Yeah. I don't hate it. Paul, come up with something good. You're creative.
I'm thinking very hard. I'm not coming up with anything.
Okay, so while you guys
mainly
think about
because
that,
you forgot the name of mine.
I thought it was the Paul Gallant show.
How about Vanessa Says?
Yeah. It's easy. We'll just get rid of the it'll be Vanessa Says. There we go.
The Latch Podcast, where Vanessa discusses what you've been latching onto.
Van Talk
world.
With Vanessa Richardson.
That makes it sound like it's a show about vans.
It is. It'll be about vans. On the river. Please do that one.
V's View. Wow.
The V-Spot. I like that one.
The V-Spot. That's good.
That one's the one.
Vanessa with the twist, and you twist your arm because I'm double jointed.
Oh, my God.
And Paul
no, I'm leaving
it.
Studio if you do that. We're not doing
3426 says Hot Chick Talk Sports Podcast. Well, it's creative.
How about let's call it Vanessa just decided to use a segment of her radio show to come up with a name for her podcast that she's not doing at the same time with me.
I'm glad.
I'm not mad about this at all. No. Also,
wait. I didn't
Vanessa
ask
forgot
because
the name
you,
of Paul's
you
podcast.
You already have a podcast.
Yeah, but I never mentioned it at all on the air. I never bring it up.
Wait. So I'm sorry. Are you mad about the fact that I'm actually talking about myself instead of you talking about yourself? Are you mad about the fact that I didn't ask you to do a podcast, or are you mad about the fact that I don't mention your Paul Gallant show?
I'm not mad about anything. I'm letting you dig your own grave here.
Okay. Well,
you just brought up a lot of things, and I mean, many people are saying.
Yeah, many people. The Paul Gallant experience, since you want me to promote your show,
that
you can...
And I don't promote it here.
Get on StreamYard.
Because I swear a lot.
But my podcast is through the station.
Ooh.
No, it really is.
Okay.
So I can promote it on here.
Okay.
But I need a name for it. So
yeah,
come up with a name.
We'll think up a name.
And let me know. Paul's
I'll help you out.
Never going to promote it because we just found out he is big man.
Well, because again, all you had to do is remember my podcast. Paul, I listened to your episode today.
What did I talk about? It's very good.
And what did I talk about on yesterday's show?
You talked about hating James Harden.
No, I didn't have a show yesterday. Because I've been lazy for the last week. Let's get back to the show.
Paul, so Ben Roethlisberger obviously retiring from the Pittsburgh Steelers. And there's an insider, Gary Dulac, who writes for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
I love his name.
Gary Dulac's
Dulac.
A good writer name. Also, I don't know if it's Gary or Jerry because it's that weird G-E-R-R-Y.
Oh, it's Jerry.
You think it's Jerry? Okay, yeah. Jerry Dulac asked about it.
There's a Jerry Sandusky who is a broadcaster for the Baltimore Ravens. Doesn't that suck? And his name is spelled G-E-R-R-Y. But that's how I know it's Jerry. Anyway.
So in a Q&A, somebody asked him, and this guy's a like legit insider. Somebody asked him if there's bad blood between the Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger. And he said, quote, "I would say it's very safe to assume that." This was surprising to me. I don't remember the storylines about there being bad blood between him and Tomlin or him and ownership, unless you guys can correct me and I'm missing something.
Well, they have done a lot for him, including standing by him when he was a persona non grata. My belief is that he feels forced out. But, I mean, did you watch him the last 2 years? Did you watch yourself, Ben? Going into last season, how many times did we hear Roethlisberger making claims that I'm sure James Harden will have his people making about him going into the year? I'm in the best shape of my life.
Yeah.
I'm like Tom Brady. You heard that.
Do you remember when he said he had a new diet?
Yeah.
And he had lost a bunch of weight and was going to be better than ever?
He still looked like a soup sandwich,
which
again, some people just do. And he's been a successful player despite that. But he sucked last year. He was absolute rancid garbage as a quarterback. He couldn't throw the football down the field. It happens to everybody. Eventually, your body just stops working with you. But I mean, good God. What was he? He threw like 40 passes for 100 yards in that awful Monday Night Football game to end the year. That was like one of the worst quarterback games I'd ever seen because you had two dead people in Baker Mayfield and Ben Roethlisberger essentially like flailing their noodles around, and they weren't actually able to push the ball anywhere. It was awful.
I don't think we'll ever know because I don't think Ben Roethlisberger is the kind of guy that's going to keep a really public persona post-retirement. Like, I don't think we're going to see him in a broadcast booth. I don't know that he writes a book.
Him.
I think he, like, goes and, like, has a house in Montana and just doesn't come out again.
He should fade off into the sunset. He is one of the very few guys that I feel like no matter what he tries to pitch today about how he's found God and all these things that he has, like, he is morally irredeemable for the things that allegedly happened in the 2000s. He just is. And at least in my opinion, I know everyone's like, oh, second chances. I don't know. The guy, that city bent over backwards for him and put up with a lot of his crap over the years. And he was a great quarterback. There's no denying that. And he's probably going to be a Hall of Famer someday, too. But, I mean, I don't know what he's expecting from the Steelers. They stood by him for a long period of time. He couldn't play anymore. And then they moved on. You know, so I wonder what it is, but to me, I bet it's just sour feelings about, oh, I didn't get to go out the way I wanted.
Blah. Right. Meanwhile, yesterday with the schedule release, social media teams, it's kind of their Super Bowl where they produce these videos for months and months and months or, you know, try to plug in the week of when they find out which games are which. Wins and losses for social media teams. My win is the Panthers. I loved their 90s throwback video, schedule release video. I thought it was cool. They had a CD player. They had all the games from the 90s. I thought it was cool. They had AOL Messenger. My loss is the Broncos. I thought it was really dumb. It felt like they could just stick Peyton Manning. They thought they could stick Peyton Manning, John Elway, and Adam Schefter in a video and that it would be funny. It was like called The Intern.
Yeah.
And it was just really dumb.
Yeah, they tried too hard with that one. And yeah, I mean, what kind of an organization are the Denver Broncos if they're forcing their quarterbacks to be interns too? I mean, think about that.
It's a good point.
You know, like John Elway is an intern. You want John Elway as an intern based off of the way Brian Flores talked about him showing up for that interview?
Either. You brought up a good point, Sean, too, which is that like Peyton Manning retired 6 years.
Like, yeah, they made it seem like, well, this is Peyton's last day as an intern, and we're handing it over to Russell Wilson. I'm like, oh, he's been retired since before Trump was elected. Like he's been retired forever.
It has been a while.
It just wasn't. It just wasn't funny. And then like I think they were trying to in a way mimic The Office, where Russell Wilson would look at the camera and push up his glasses. Yeah, but I didn't get it.
Russell Wilson is such a bad actor. And he tries so hard to be a good actor, but he is. It makes your screen crawl.
It's funny because you know he's an actor in real life too. Because there's no way anyone is that. I'm sorry.
So it's when he tries to act on top of the acting. That's where it goes awry.
It's like we're really going Inception with Russell Wilson when he's trying to act. Yeah, because the whole thing is an act. No one is like that in real life. No one. Sorry.
He named his. His puppy Bronco. I mean, that kind of says it all,
right? Ever the politician.
That was my... Did you guys have any good or bad social media teams that stood out to you?
The Chargers slayed. That was awesome. They did a anime, and the anime had shots at, like, every single team along the way. If you paid close attention, like, for the Falcons, they hit a 28-3 reference in it. For the Seahawks, they had, like, a graveyard with, like, the Legion of Boom, Mina Kimes' hopes and dreams. She's, like, the big, you know, most forward-facing Seahawk fan that there is. For the Browns, they said, our legal team has advised us not to keep this slide in.
That was a good Easter egg.
It was, I mean, the whole thing, like, you actually could pause in every single frame. You would probably notice, like, six or seven things. The sad thing is the Texans are so boring, and as Steph Stradley pointed this out, they're just so innocuous. There was nothing to really make fun of. It's like, all right, well, here they are.
They're
a team with bulls.
It's worse because at least we had good content when they were bad, but they were a dumpster fire. Now that they're actually on the mend and they're still going to be bad, we're not going to have as much to talk about.
Yeah. Unless they shock them all.
They
and
could.
Go 16-0-1. Sean Mapes, you heard it from him first.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, if Paul's Celtics lose, he is somebody that you need to cheer for.
Yes.
Plus our Garbage Time segment. That's next.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. So the NBA playoffs continue, and our resident Celtics fan, Paul Gallant.
I'm not feeling good. I think they're going to lose. They're
going to
lose it tonight. Yeah, it's not happening. I'm not doing the reverse jinx thing to do back in the day.
Why do you say that?
I just feel like when you lose the game like that, how do you come back from it? That was a catastrophically bad loss. Marcus Smart goes up for an offensive, for just a rebound on a free throw, collides with his own guy. Portis gets the rebound. He puts it in. Then afterwards, he dribbles into the corner. Smart has it stolen from him and thrown off of him by Drew Holiday, who then swipes him again before the end of the game. It was all in like 20 seconds. Just 20 seconds of absolute death. And they played so well the rest of that game. So I don't know how you bounce back from it. I feel like Marcus Smart's natural reaction is to try to take everything into his hands again, which is exactly what I don't want. So, it's in Milwaukee. Giannis is going to get all the calls, which I don't have a problem with, but it's going to be brutal, I think.
But
I think,
you have a local angle here.
Yes, I do. So when the Rockets are already out, obviously. So when the Celtics lose, most likely, there's a bandwagon that I'm jumping on, and we should all join it together. Because, look, lost in the shuffle of James Harden's very, very funny excuses and throwing Doc Rivers under the bus, Joel Embiid calling out Harden, Doc Rivers getting salty with the media, was Jimmy Butler walking down the tunnel talking trash to Philadelphia media. Because remember, Jimmy Butler played for Philly not too long ago. Here is Jimmy.
Tobias Harris over me.
And
Team Petty.
After the game, too, Vanessa, he was asked about Joel Embiid, and he said, look, I got a lot of respect for him. I wish I was still playing with him here in Philadelphia. I'm so proud of him, but I'm really happy that I'm with Miami. And it was just so, so turning that knife into everybody left on that Philly roster. And by the way, it really was just Ben Simmons, who isn't there anymore. It was great. So I'm a big Jimmy Butler fan, who is from?
He is.
Tomball. He refuses to say he's from Houston. He's from the ball.
He is from Tomball. And I liked that he said that as he was walking in the locker room and people were yelling at him. And he didn't give anybody the chance to respond. He just kind of did the mic drop and left.
So I'm annexing the ball, annexing it as part of Houston. And look, it's lame. Yeah, I know. To celebrate a local hero winning a championship elsewhere. Whatever.
But
Jimmy Butler
point,
is ours.
He's the local kid.
Yeah.
He is the local kid.
Yeah. So team heat culture, and also
that was convincing.
PJ Tucker, who I loved with the Rockets.
He was great.
He was the only guy I legitimately liked on those 2018 Rockets outside of Chris Paul, but Chris Paul's more like a retroactive, I say it now, to make myself feel better about hating James Harden as much as I did. But PJ Tucker I always loved. And PJ Tucker was asked about playing with a star like Jimmy Butler. He took a shot at somebody along the way.
I didn't know how good Jimmy was till I got here. Like, I thought he was a good player. Like, I didn't think he was that good. It's like, oh, he all right. He's showing me more than I ever thought. His heart. He's never scared of the moment. And that in itself is a talent. Because I play with guys that be really good, but when they get in those big moments, they shy away and they don't want it. And he wants every part of every moment. He's not scared at all in that fearlessness. And he puts that into a lot of different guys on our team, Paul. It's like he really makes guys, he gives them confidence.
I mean, that's about as direct as it gets. I had not heard that until you just played it.
I got distracted. Sean brought this up before the show because I was listening for when it was going to happen. You'll hear it one more time. Sean, if you could play it so that Vanessa can hear me being inappropriate.
In that fearlessness. And he puts that into a lot of different guys on our team, Paul. It's like he really...
Our team's balls?
No, he puts that into a lot of different guys. Pause.
Oh, he said that?
Yeah.
Oh, like
and
he knew...
puts that into a lot of different guys on our team, Paul. It's like...
Like, he knew he had made a sexual innuendo.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. It's great.
That was very seamless of him.
It was. Because it
was incredibly seamless.
I think Sean only heard that because Sean's an expert at cutting up audio and stuff.
Yeah.
So, that's...
PJ Tucker with the joke.
That was fantastic. And look, he played at UT. I know not everybody likes UT here, but he did play for the Rockets. So, look, you got PJ Tucker. Someone pointed out Kyle Lowry, former Rocket. Yeah. Like a decade ago. Also on those Miami Heat.
Did you like Kyle Lowry?
Oh, yeah.
That was your guy.
Kyle Lowry is awesome. They used to have Goran Dragic, who was also a Rocket.
Also was a Miami Heat, but now Brooklyn Net, which is a bummer. I wish he was still in the Miami Heat. I almost bought a Goran Dragic Miami Vice Heat jersey.
The Miami Vice jerseys were cool.
they still are.
They still are cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, they're awesome. Like the best jerseys I think I've ever seen. The light blues. Oh, my
yeah,
God. The pink.
Those are sick. It is time for garbage time.
Let's do it.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
All right, listen, I think Urban Meyer was ridiculous getting lap dances at his own restaurant in Ohio when he said he was hanging out with his grandkids, trying to hire somebody that was an abuser, bringing in Tim Tebow. The list goes on and on and on. One of the things that he is alleged to have done was kicking a kicker. Former Aggies.
It's kind of funny.
Josh Lambeau, who is currently a free agent. He is suing the Jaguars. Not even specifically Urban Meyer, but he's suing the Jags as an entire franchise with Shad Khan and the whole deal.
Classic Aggie.
Kicker Josh Lambeau has filed a lawsuit against the Jags seeking his $3.5 million salary for 2021 plus damages for emotional distress. The lawsuit says Lambeau's performance suffered as a result of being kicked and verbally abused by then-head coach Urban Meyer. It was filed in Duval and claims Myers and the Jags created a hostile work environment since Lambeau reported the incident. His release violated Florida's Private Sector Whistleblowers Act, the lawsuit claims. Hashtag legal talk.
So first off, look, sorry, but of all the things Urban Meyer did, this is the funny one. He kicked a kicker. And I think that
it's objectively funny.
I think he did it jokingly, too. Like, I don't think he actually went up to him and just drop-kicked him in the face or something like that. No, I bet he, like, went up behind him and, like, tapped him with a foot from behind. Now, it's weird to do that, definitely.
Very strange.
But I don't think that he actually kicked him as hard as he could.
Of all the things that Urban Meyer did, that was the one that I saw that was like, maybe he was over-dramatized by the person alleging it. Because did any of the teammates ever stand up for him?
No.
Josh Lambeau?
That was the most of, like, a scene of, like, the opposite of Ted Lasso. If there's a show that was just, like, the opposite of Ted Lasso, like, it was, like, a comedy scene of, like, yeah, him kicking the kick. Hey, don't miss.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like that story, kind of.
I like that, too. We'll see what happens with the legal.
Kicking
like
kickers,
is,
okay,
big
in our
bad.
Book.
Is it possible for a horse to be a pansy? Rich Strike,
what an incredible
performance in the Kentucky Derby, is not racing the Preakness. I hate this.
What a coward.
And ran it's from all, the grind.
Yeah, if you really wanted it, you would go for it. This stupid horse. I honestly put him in a factory right now. Turn him into glue. You know? Just kill him.
Awful.
Just what point do you have,
right.
Horsey?
You know, they like kill them and shoot them when they're done with them.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
actually just
well,
really...
Well, I'm done with them.
Really problematic.
I mean, I wanted to bet on him in the race. The one that's next. Whether that's the Belmont or the Preakness, I don't know. All I know is that he should be racing in it, and he's not because he's a coward like LeBron. I'm just trying to sound like Skip Bayless here. Like,
yeah, you are.
And this is tongue-in-cheek, but wouldn't it be really funny if like that was a sports take that someone had back when horse racing was like the number one sport in America? This horse is a damn coward! My father fought for our country in World War I, and here he is. Here is a Secretariat or some other damn horse from back in the 1910s. Here he is. He won't even race.
Yeah, Secretariat was one of the like best athletes of the 20th century when
Name.
They made a list or whatever. So we should be able to crush him. Like
that's true. But do you guys agree
Sea
with
biscuit.
That? You guys agree with a horse with an animal
no.
being named the best athlete?
It's borderline offensive to the human athletes.
So weird.
Well, a horse would beat a human in a race, though.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We beat them in everything else.
But I feel like then you have to do a separate animal category, no, with greyhound dogs that they race at the racetracks in Florida and all of that.
Well, they don't do that anymore because they're all on cocaine.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Really?
Oh, yeah. Seriously, it's a big problem. I used to live near one of those greyhound tracks.
My neighbor in Indiana.
It's really sad.
My neighbor in Indiana rescued them. She was really rich and had a whole wing of her house.
They're such timid little dogs. I feel for them because they're just scared bleepless of everything. They're the most, like, you think chihuahuas are scared of everything? Greyhounds are terrified all the time and always shivering.
Meanwhile, insulting a man for being bald in the workplace amounts to sex harassment. In the UK, a panel of balding judges have ruled.
Wow, they're not biased.
Should this be something that men can report to HR?
Yes.
If I walk up to somebody and I say, you're bald, is it the same thing as a guy feeling up my skirt at a lunch break?
Whoa, geez, no. Not at all.
No, saying it's sex harassment.
Not at all. Not at all.
Is that the same? So we're all lumping it in one category?
I think they're saying comments. It's the same as making a comment.
This would be like, hey, Vanessa, I really like insert article of clothing or something like that. It would be akin to that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
It's definitely not. I mean, it's a little different.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I should be able to call a guy Dr. Evil or, you know, it's like, it's not a big deal to be bald.
For some guys, it is.
Yeah.
For some,
is it really?
Yeah, I take Propecia, so I stop balding.
It's a burden. You do what?
I had a receding hairline when I went up to Seattle.
We have a doctor that works with the station for that.
Yeah, yeah. I took pills instead.
Did you really?
Yeah.
No one at the station is in danger of being sexually harassed.
No, that's
thanks
true.
Thanks to Dr. Lynn.
I was going to sexually harass all of them. And now, I won't. All right, coming up.
You
got Joel Blank, you got Jeremy Branham, and the Killer Bees from 12 to 3. I'm Vanessa Richardson.
I'm not being
Paul
sexually
Gallant
harassed, HR.
And
not cool.
Sean Mapes. Have a great weekend.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.